Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who?
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not?
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back, and Will and I, and Will's actually in Stockton, California here today, so he's talking to us remotely, but we just finished talking about the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix, and we just had a little take on that. We also talked about the possibilities of some alternates, who we thought was going to win, and the unique thing about this episode is I'm letting Will pick the topics of what we're going to talk about. So I really don't have a clue what's next. So Will, what's next?
All right. Let's talk about another big event. This one's actually big in the Asian mixed martial arts scene.
Let's talk about
UFC Shanghai.
Okay. I thought you were going to hit me with some like something with Ryzen or one championship. I'm like, man, I wasn't even prepared for that one.
Hey, they have a good tournament themselves. They're doing a flyweight tournament. Former UFC fighter Kyoji Horiguchi's done it. He's a champion in Ryzen now. It's pretty interesting, but we'll talk about that later, Dave.
Okay, but I thought you were gonna hit me with something in Ryzen, and I was gonna be a little worried on that one because I am not up on Ryzen. Okay, so how do you want to take this event in Shanghai? You lead with this one.
All right. So this event has been very interesting in the past few weeks. It's been the event was first billed as Anderson Silva versus Kelvin Gastelum. That has since changed. Recently, Anderson Silva was flagged by USADA for a doping violation. Details have yet to come out about that a little bit more, but they pulled him from the event since. And Michael Bisping, fresh off of his loss to George St. Pierre, felt that he was ready and willing to fight and get back into the octagon and get a win as potentially one of his last few fights in the UFC. So he's stepping in as a last-minute replacement to fight Kelvin Gastelum. How do you see that fight going?
Okay, do you mind if I go on my soapbox first on this one?
Oh, no worries. I love your soapbox.
I hate this. I despise this, and I think it's a joke and a travesty. And I bet you weren't expecting that, were you? Here's the reason.
I can see where you're coming from.
Here's the reason why. Okay, Anderson Silva, he gets a doping violation. We don't quite know what it is. But the thing that I know is this. Michael Bisping was just in a title fight a few weeks before in which he was dropped by George St. Pierre and then choked unconscious, worse than almost anybody I've seen in a rear naked choke. And he's not even going to clear, like, the medical suspension should be at least 60 days for a guy who's been concussed and a guy who's been choked out. And also you have a situation where a fighter's pride has been put on the line because he fought a smaller man who he lost. And, you know, you think, like, you know what, I want to show that I'm I'm, you know, I'm still good. So you want to jump in there. My problem isn't with Michael. My problem's with the UFC. The UFC's job, one of the biggest jobs they should have is protecting the fighters from themselves. And the UFC is not protecting a fighter from themselves. The UFC is just thinking about their bottom line and saving a card. He should not be fighting this fight. If they said, you know what, we're going to push this event back, but Michael should at least have 60 days with the trauma that he took when he fought George St. Pierre. I don't like it. What's your thoughts?
I got to agree with you. I mean, the GSP fight was on November 4th, and this fight is going to be on the 25th of the same month. So that's literally 21 days and 3 weeks. That's just 3 weeks since his last fight where he was dropped and lost, and he went through the ringer, and he went through a brutal training camp for it, not to mention that. And he was actually served the medical suspension issued by the New York State Athletic Commission. But since China isn't under the permission, under the purview of the boxing commissions and mixed martial arts commissions of America, he's allowed to fight. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that at this stage in his career, especially, and considering all the damage and all the fights that he's had, he needs to take some time. It's not a matter of I need to get this win back. I need to get my mind back right, which is what he's doing to argue for this fight. It's not about that. It's about the livelihood of the fighter. It's about his health and the safety of the fighter. You got to reel him back in. And
a fighter, for instance, like Bigfoot Silva, I hate to say this, Andre Arlovski, BJ Penn. There's a lot of fighters. It's proven that a lot of fighters may not look out for their best interests, but the UFC should look out for the best interests of the fighters. And sometimes it may hurt their purse. And this is one of those situations where they should at least give them the medical suspension, and this fight should not happen. That's my biggest problem with this whole thing. He's an older fighter who's had the most fights of anyone in the UFC. That meant he's been through more training camps with more sparring sessions. He just got almost knocked out, and then he got choked unconscious. The UFC should step in, and they should not have done this. I say this is a very bad, and I don't normally, I hate to be on my high horse and everything on this one, but I just think it's wrong. Now, with that being said, the UFC is looking out for trying to save this event. So this is what they're doing. And with that being said, I am going to go for the upset. I got Gastelum winning by knockout over Michael Bisping, and it's going to destroy his leg. It's going to really hurt his legacy.
Yeah, I can see a similar event happening. Kelvin is no joke. Even if he's not fighting at kind of his natural weight class, he's fast, he's strong, he's young.
He's powerful.
He's got a lot riding for him.
And if you look at, yes, Michael knocked out Luke Rockhold, but Michael isn't that powerful of a guy. You know what I mean? He's not known for being this knockout artist. I don't know if Michael has enough power, especially after coming off with a short notice. I look at this as a bad matchup. Even when he was champ, I still would have taken Gastelum to win.
I think it's a bit closer if he has a full training camp and has some time.
Yes, I think it'd be much closer, but I would still take Gastelum.
I wouldn't if this thing had some time and on a full training camp. I think it's close, but I'd take Bisping by a decision. Right now, I have him losing by a knockout or a TKO.
Now, is there anything? What's your thoughts on this card here?
Honestly, it's a weak card. It's a weak card, and that's why the UFC had to step in and kind of take it from a promotional point of view, and I think that's why they kind of looked away from fighter safety and set up this fight. I mean, they could have set up someone like Derek Brunson and fight in for a late-minute replacement and paid him more. I mean, you pay him accordingly for stepping in and doing that. You look down the list of the top 10, there's plenty of fighters there that could have been kind of taken out of their fights and put into this event, but they needed someone with a name. They want to have success in Asia, so they're doing a lot to kind of rescue this event. There's some fights that I'm really interested in and some fighters that I'm really interested in, such as Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres, he's fighting on this card, and then you have Li Jinglan, who is one of the better prospects for Asian mixed martial arts. But aside from that, you're looking at a relatively sparse card in terms of names. Most of it's going to be it's kind of relegated to UFC Fight Pass for a reason.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Where I go into a conversation I've had with you a number of different times. This past weekend's card and this week's card is a great example of why the UFC should adopt the new Tate system. And what the Tate system is, I've never said this on air, but I've said this to you. The UFC should go through, they shouldn't add any more divisions. But I think the UFC should have a UFC champion. I think they need an American champion, which is a champion of the Americas, meaning North America, South America, and then a continental champion. And what I mean by that is a continental champion would be the champion for Europe, Asia, Australia, and Africa. And that way the UFC could add two additional champions to each weight class. The continental champion would defend his title against other people in Europe and Asia and Africa. The American champion would defend his title against other fighters in North America and South America, but they're not the world champion. It's kind of like in the WWE where they have like the Intercontinental champion or the United States heavyweight champion. It would give them a chance so that they would have additional belts for events like this. So then you would have, you know, you could put two champions on this card that may not be world champions, but they may be continental champions. What's your thoughts on that, Will?
I like it. You're taking a book out of the WWE book. I do like that idea. It's just, it has to be executed right for me. I mean, right. I have to have the understanding as a fan and as fellow fighters look upon this and see all this like champions and whatnot. They have to have an understanding that there's levels to this game, right? They have to understand that some of these champions may not be at the same par and the same level as the main champions. If that makes sense. Or else there's going to be a lot of disputes and there's going to be a lot of calls for equality among fighters when mainly this would be a promotional tactic.
Well, I think you could still make it so that the different lower titles, everyone knows that the world title is the top title. And then,
yeah, that's what I would have to see from this.
Like I'll use the strawweights as an example. You know, you got Rose Namajunas as the women's flyweight champion, but let's say you have, I don't know, let's say the North American champion is Carla Esparza. I mean, the American champion is Carla Esparza. And let's say, I don't know, one of the European fighters as the European champion or the continental champion. They would still be able to have big time matches. They would still be able to contend for the world title, but they would also have a minor title as well.
You know, well, the thing is, the ranking system is already kind of wonky since they've introduced it. A lot of times you have fighters leapfrogging over the others. So I would have to see them kind of use that system properly, in a sense. And then if they're able to do that, then I think I would be a fan of, like, the Intercontinental type of champions. You mean you have, like, you'd have, like, the European champion, you want a champion, versus the American world champion, Rose Namajunas, and then I would be fine with that.
Like where's Jimmy Manawa from?
Jimmy Manawa, he's from the UK.
Right, that's what I was thinking. So, like, for the, let's say, you're talking about UFC, you know, UFC Fight Night London. I'm making this up. So you would have Alexander Gustafsson defending the continental title versus Jimmy Manawa. You know, that can be a fight night main event right there where you have a title that's way better than these interim titles, which really make things kind of wonky because you know that the world champion is the world champion, and then you have two minor champions that are there. So, like, Gustafsson, you know, Gustafsson's a legit fighter. He's a continental champion. You know Manawa is a serious contender. You put him as a fight night. That's a fight night main event card that people would tune in to see, especially when you put a belt on the line.
I can see it, and I'm probably going to hear people coming from the other side where they're going to say that this is what killed boxing, all these belts, and some of them don't even mean anything. Well, the thing about the UFC is they're under one umbrella, and the UFC can force them to fight one another, and they will fight one another. That's the main difference, and I would like to see it. It just has to be executed properly, or else you're going to have title belts and divisions held up kind of like how we saw in boxing.
Well, the problem is, the big difference is, when you look at boxing, it's like the WBA, the WBC, the IBF, the WBO, and you can have six world heavyweight champions. And then you have, you know, the North American champion, the European champion, and then you even have minor titles in there. So if you wanted every title, it's like 10 titles. I'm saying each division would have, you know, a world champion where there's only one world champion, and then you would have two minor titles that are just for just two regional titles, which are definitely lower than, you know what I mean? Like use an example. You do not want a situation where Wonder Boy is fighting Tyron Woodley again for the title, but you could easily have Wonder Boy versus whomever, and have Wonder Boy as the North American the American champion. You know, he has a title, he gets to defend his title, but he's not up for a world title now. Right now,
I see where you're coming from, and this is maybe something that you can answer as you watched it from the wrestling point of view when you were growing up. How did they handle, like, fighter pay? Like, how did you know how in WWE there was regional champions? How did those fighters get paid? How did it compare to the world champions? How did it affect their careers and things along those lines? Was there a path to success in that?
Yeah,
it would be.
And, you know, this is just me on my little imaginary way. I would like to see the UFC do this instead of putting in, you know, instead of putting in interim titles, which really does muddy up the water. But you look at, as far as pay goes, the highest paid goes the world champion. Then you would have the regional titles. They get paid a lot less than the world heavyweight champion. You put those regional guys they would headline the fight pass cards, the UFC fight nights type cards. They don't get paid. They get a bump in pay, you know. So if you were just Jimmy Manoa fighting Corey Anderson again, you know, there's no, you know, you get your regular pay. But if you were Jimmy Manoa and you're fighting someone else and you're defending your continental title, that would be a way that you can get your headline in a card, you're defending your title, that's a little bump in pay, but you're still not world champion caliber. And if you defend the title a number of times, you can fight for the world title. If you win the world title, you vacate that title and they put the strap on someone else.
Yeah, well, there might be a potential issue there because sometimes we have these interim titles and
no, you'd have to do away. You would have to do away interim titles altogether. That was my excuse for getting rid of them.
Say that again.
That was my reason. My reasoning behind that is that way you get rid. The reason why the UFC, I feel like the UFC is putting these interim titles on, is because the champ is held up with injury, or like Conor McGregor doing his thing, and the division is on hold. Well, if you have a fighter that's on hold, let's say, you know, because of whatever reason, you know, you still, there's not enough titles to go around for all the events, especially when you got a couple of titles on hold. But if you have all these extra regional titles, then you wouldn't have a card like last weekend's. You would have, you know, the last weekend's card, which is the longest card in history. It was the most boring card in history as well. But it would add a little extra spice if you put two champions on there. You know, when
I would like that.
You know, if let's say Fabricio was defending his American title on the UFC fight night this past weekend, it would make that fight a lot more interesting than if it was as a main event instead. You know, and then you put another, and there's another champion fight on there, putting two titles on up there. Then also some of your bigger events like 219, they're trying to get another champion on there. And a lot of the pay-per-view events get hurt when you put three champions on a card, because then you have, you know, not enough champs to go around. Now you have a situation where you would have more champs and it would add more spice to the fight night cards, the fight pass cards, and you can put more titles on the line on your pay-per-view.
All right, Dana, take the call. He's he's accepting offers right now. Just send the contract through and we'll talk about it. He might have to negotiate that I have his partner, but we'll see.
And if you had Alexander Gustafsson, the Continental Champion, getting a shot at the world's heavyweight title, which would be Daniel Cormier, that would add a little bit more of a super fight feel to it as well.
I just shoot him a call and send the contact to we'll
all right.
We'll be ready.
And, you know, yes, we got a little off the beaten path, but I've been wanting to bring that subject up for a little while because I hate these interim titles. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the news about Chris Cyborg signing her new contract and her fight with Holly Holm that's coming up. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.